Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we are on the topic of bugs again today. And as a result, we have once again in the studio with us entomologist Salvador Vitanza of IPM, Integrated Pest Management, with Texas AgriLife Extension. Thank you so much for coming back to Good to Grow.
It's my pleasure and my honor.
Well, again, bugs are one of the huge topics that the master gardeners get when they get the phone calls on the Master Gardener hotline. And one of the things that I think people may be confused about is when they see a lot of dieback on their trees. I mean, we had a really harsh freeze back in 2011, and then we had a hot summer that came after that. And so these back and forth between extreme cold and extreme heat could be causing some damage in people's trees that they may confuse with bug damage.
Correct. After the hard year that we had, the plants went into a dormant season, winter, and unfortunately we had a very mild winter. Now the plants are trying to regroup and send out new shoots, and then this is where this obvious sign of twig damage is happening, and that's at the shorter ends of the branches, the very tiny branches where they can easily snap off. And I think one of the most things that people think about is they have an insect problem, when really what it is just this overall tissue damage to the tree that just cannot recover. And one of the best things to do is just remove those dead twigs from the tree itself. But unfortunately, because of these environmental stresses, it's a great opportunity for bugs to invade dying or dead trees. And Dr. Vitanza, could you tell us a little bit about borers?
Just like you said, when the tree is in a compromised situation, when the tree is not at its healthiest, that's when you're going to see opportunist organisms like insect borers that are going to go and attack a dying or dead tree. So for the most part, if you keep the tree healthy, you're going to take care of the borers. The exception will be probably the peach tree that would be perfectly healthy, but is still susceptible to the peach tree borer. Other than that, most trees are going to be okay if you keep them with good water and fertilization situation, except in those cases when you have had environmental conditions that created vascular damage, and then you're going to have sections of the tree or the whole tree in a compromised situation.
Would I see borers crawling up the trunk, or would I actually look for other evidence of the borer activity?
You will not see the larva crawling on the trunk because when they are very small, when they hatch, is when they start getting into the wood. So the larvas are going to be inside the trunk, and once they are there, they're pretty much untouchable. In some cases, you can use a wire to try to reach the larva, but sometimes doing that, you can create more damage than the actual larva is doing.
So will I see little small holes along the trunk of the tree then?
Yes, and those holes occur randomly on the bark. They will not occur on a line like in the case of woodpeckers. So you're going to see those holes. Sometimes there's going to be sawdust at the bottom of the trunk, or sometimes they're going to be oozing sap from the tree.
When's the best time to take action?
I would say when you're seeing a dieback of branches, the best is to do some pruning, cutting some branches. To try to treat for borers is a very difficult task, because it's only at the time that the beetles, usually beetles or moths, are laying the eggs on the bark. That's the time that these organisms are going to be susceptible to pesticide. Once they are inside the trunk, even if you apply any systemic insecticide, the effect is going to be very limited.
Yeah, I've heard the saying that when you realize you have borers, it's too late.
That's exactly right.
So hopefully, you know, it may give some people hope if they see dieback on their trees and they don't see those telltale holes. Right. That would be a good sign that you probably don't have borers.
And also, if you prune back the dying branches of your tree, you can see if that's progressing or not, to also help you further see what's going on in there. Am I not watering it enough? Another pest or a disease invading my tree as well. So I think that's a great tip. Remove all of the dieback branches and dispose of them. Don't compost them. Throw them in the trash. We don't want to recycle recycle the insects.
In the case of pecans, you see that when the growers decide to take a tree out for whatever reason, that's the time a lot of borers go and fly to that wood. It's a very critical time for them to attack the trees that are either dying or the wood is just recently cut. Some other pests that I've seen in trees that people have asked me about is the bagworm that occurs on junipers, Italian cypress. They also occur on elm trees. And the best time, especially with elm trees or any tree that loses its leaves over the winter, the best time to collect those bagworms is going to be the winter time because they're not going to be hidden by the leaves. It's going to be relatively easy to see them and collect them and destroy them.
Are they a caterpillar or what are they?
They are a caterpillar that use little twigs. They attach those little twigs to a bag and they are inside that bag. Mm-hmm. So they spend most of their lives, especially the females, they spend most of their lives inside that bag. And males are the ones that fly and go fertilize and make more babies. But the bagworms can be a difficult problem because they may attack a specific tree year after year. So it's weakening the tree over time. So that's a pest that is relatively easy to take care of if you're not talking about a commercial operation. But in one home, you can use winter time to, that's the time they're going to be more evident.
Can you spray those off with water?
If you spray them off with water, it's a possibility, but sometimes they attach with silk to the tree.
Oh.
And it's not so easy to dislodge them. So the best is to just mechanically remove them because if you have spray insecticides, they are protected in that bag also. Another curious pest that I have seen, especially on mountain laurel.
I know what you're talking about.
Is the Genista caterpillar. It's kind of a large larva. When they are grown larvae, they are green with white spots, and they can cause unsightly damage, but for the most part, they have developed a good relationship over time in the sense that the mountain laurel can overcome that damage.
I don't have a good relationship with them.
the mountain laurel, for the most part, can tolerate the damage. But in some occasions, the damage is just overwhelms the tree, too.
Yeah, those I have a mountain laurel, and I didn't know this at the time, but I had a, it's since died back, butterfly bush planted maybe about 3 feet away from that mountain laurel. So obviously, you know, butterflies, larvae, caterpillars, they ended up migrating to that mountain laurel, and they just ate the heck out of it. But there is a product called BT. It's a bacteria, actually. It's an organic bacteria that people can spray on the caterpillars. It doesn't kill on contact. But what it does is the caterpillars eat that, and I believe it inhibits their digestion, right? And it eventually kills the caterpillar.
Yes, it's a bacteria. It's a toxin that it has to be ingested, and the pH inside the gut of the insect triggers reproduction. So that's a very harmless insecticide for humans, but not so for
the caterpillars. And it doesn't work specifically on this caterpillar, but it works pretty broadly against maybe other caterpillars, which may be eating your tomato plants, right?
Yes.
Well, moving on to tomato plants, speaking of, there are a lot of bugs that maybe eat people's tomatoes, including the caterpillar. And there's a variety of caterpillars also that eat tomatoes. Isn't that right?
There's several different types that you can identify on your tomato plants as well, and they're very active during the growing season.
There are several caterpillars that affect tomato. The most conspicuous is the tomato hornworm because of its size. It can reach up to 2.5-3 inches. They're really big larvae. The thing is, most people, when they are thinking about pests on plants, even if they have a just a couple of tomato plants, they want to know what insecticide to apply. Mm-hmm. And in the case of tomato hornworm, the best is just to mechanically remove them. But the key is if you have a commercial operation, then, of course, it's impractical to try to mechanically remove them. But if you have just a few tomato plants, you can take care of those just by grabbing them. And then you can use your imagination to try to get rid of them. But other organisms that are not so easily removed are spider mites. They can affect your tomato plants too. Leaf miners, they will do a number on the leaves. Some other insects that bore into the tomato, like the corn earworm, will affect the tomatoes. Or there are several caterpillars that will go inside the tomato fruit. But the tomato hornworm, the important part about this insect is that just one caterpillar, because of its size, can pretty much defoliate a tomato plant. It will not kill it necessarily, but it will hold it back.
And I think it's important to remember that these are, your vegetable garden are going to be plants and fruits, vegetables that you are going to consume. So when you do make that choice, whether you want to apply pesticides or not, it's very important with these edible crops. And I agree with the spider mite damage as well as in tomatoes. You can certainly control those by a spray of soapy water. There's a lot of safe, natural ways to get rid of these pests or keep them down to a manageable level in your garden without the use of pesticides. And I think that's a very important point to make, is to mechanically remove insects at all possible cost. Dr. Bitanza, are there any other safe pesticides that we can look at in for vegetable gardening?
Yes. What Norma just mentioned, the BT is going to be probably one of the safest pesticides that you can use for caterpillars, especially. But one of the safer and probably my favorite method of control of certain pests, like mealybugs, aphids, cochineal insects on ocotillo cactus, is to use a powerful jet of water. It's not going to have a lot of residual effect, but it's just going to take the pest away from the plant for at least a few days. And if you repeat that method several times, let's say for a month, they're going to be completely gone and they're not going to be a problem anymore. But you just have to be persistent. For instance, I've done that with the Choya cactus. And with that method of using a jet stream, you have to be careful of spraying both sides of the plant.
Well, Dr. Bitanza, we want to thank you so much for coming in today and sharing some of your knowledge. We're going to have you on a live show one of these days so you can answer people's questions. We're going to have to bring you in here on a Saturday morning. Salvador Bitanza is an entomologist with Texas AgriLife Extension with IPM Integrated Pest Management. Thank you again for coming by.
It was my pleasure, truly.
And I want to again remind our listeners that there is a link, a sort of an insect photo gallery that you can click onto if you go to ktep.org and find the Good to Grow page, and it'll help you identify what may be flying around in your yard eating your plants. And it's a great way also to help when you're calling the Master Gardener hotline at 566-1276 when you're asking, what is this bug? You'll have a really great guide there at ktep.org, again on the Good to Grow page. Thanks for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.